We made it through the July 4th holiday. The ACC, still intact. That's a good thing. Might need to start a grease board. It's been 0 days since the ACC imploded. I don't think we're there yet. The Pac-12, on the other hand, on the heels of losing USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, some reported news from Dennis Dodd of CBS today. The Big 12, which we thought was going to be extinct last summer, you recall. Let me get back to that point in a second, and we'll put a pin in that for me. The Big 12 is looking to add 6 teams, including Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, and Oregon. Oregon, to me, is the one that has the most value. You have Phil Knight's Nike money there. It also happens to be tucked away in the northwest corner of this part of the country. So if the Big 12 wants to expand, and I'm Jim Phillips, I say, good. Let them. What the Big 12 is doing is exactly what the ACC shouldn't do. There is no value in Arizona. There is no value in Arizona State. Same with Colorado. And apologies to our friend from Canada, Mark Armstrong. Same with Utah. Unless you could figure out a way to get BYU and Utah together, I would still say, no thank you. Because the more mouths you add to your conference, the more you have to feed. And if you're the ACC and you add Arizona and Arizona State, explain to me how that helps you in your television situation. How about this? I'll just spoil it for you. It doesn't. So while we talk a lot about conference expansion, and as we crash and hurtle towards this era of the, I'm just going to call it the Fox Network Conference. That would be the Big Ten. We might as well just rename it at this point. And the SEC, which is really the ESPN Network. As we hurtle towards these two super conferences of Fox and ESPN, the ACC's play here is to say to the Big 12, cool, you got Arizona. You got Arizona State. Jake Plummer and Lute Olson aren't walking through the door, is what I would say to that. But Joe, what are the ACC's realistic options at this point if you don't think adding teams is going to save the league? Well, let's start with this. Let's reinforce the agreement that you have with Notre Dame, because I've seen a lot of people I respect too, reporting about Notre Dame and their future in the Big Ten. And I'm sure everyone chuckled in the Big East country. Maybe you remember the Big East when Notre Dame joined the ACC. Oh yeah, good luck. Good luck getting them to make any sort of commitment on your football side. Now, in fairness to John Swofford, the former commissioner of the ACC, he got Notre Dame to make an agreement to not only play a 5/8 ACC schedule, which I like to call it their 5/8 pregnant deal. They got 5 games every year against Notre Dame. That is significant in terms of their television contract. By the way, in 2021, the fiscal year payout for the ACC was $36 million, which is a record for ACC schools. There was no one in the stands in 2020. So, what, Jonathan Rand, what else happened in 2020? Oh, Notre Dame was a full-time member in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So, as people try to configure, oh, it would cost Notre Dame this, or it would cost Clemson this, or it would cost North Carolina that to get out of this grant of rights, there's so many different moving parts. This is what everyone needs to remember about the grant of rights. And we'll talk more about this with Barry Sferluga from the Washington Post. The grant of rights means you give up not only the revenue that you are due from your media contract with the ACC, but let's just say Notre Dame, who, by the way, signed a grant of rights with the ACC. So if they were to somehow magically want to join the Big Ten, which, again, I'm spoiling so many things today. It's so good that I haven't seen the end of Stranger Things, because I would probably spoil the end of that for you too. Spoiler, Notre Dame's not joining the Big Ten or the Fox Network conference, if you will. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Oh, yeah, that's right. They have that pesky little deal with NBC. Oh, yeah, that's right. This little grant of rights deal. As I was saying about the grant of rights, it's not only the money you get from your current ACC deal, which is ESPN. It's also, if you were to join the SEC, let's say, all of that money would go back to the ACC through 2036. Quick math on the year that it is, 2022. We add a 14, subtract the 4, give me a 6, and we get 14. Oh, 14 years. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that document can't be tested in a court of law. And it will be, I would assume. Maybe even by Notre Dame. Maybe by Clemson. Maybe by Carolina. But for right now, that document is what gives Jim Phillips and the ACC some time to make their next move. Jim Phillips's previous move was a colossal blunder. Colossal. Hey, let's hold off on this playoff expansion because it wouldn't be more money for the... No, it would be. Because it wouldn't be a guaranteed spot. No, it would be. Because, you see what had happened was... And I'm sorry to lay this bare for people who like Jim Phillips. And I don't dislike Jim Phillips. He's a good guy. Here's the deal. If you spent... let's try it this way. If you spent your entire life in Garner, Jonathan Rand, and your dream job came open in Garner, let's say it was the music laureate of Garner.
Yes.
And they paid you $3 million a year to be the music laureate of Garner.
Could I work remotely?
And then after all of this time of wanting that job as the music laureate of Garner, the town of Garner came in and said, you're our native son. You know us better than anyone else. But this search firm told us we're going to hire someone else to be the music laureate of Garner. We're going to hire Hayes Permar to be the music laureate of Garner.
Oh.
It would sting.
And I love Hayes.
It would sting until downtown Raleigh came to you a year later. 1 year later, downtown Raleigh comes to you and goes, hey, I know you really wanted to be the music laureate of Garner. And man, it sucks that you aren't, because you really should be, but you're not. But hey, I got an idea. Why don't you be the music laureate of downtown Raleigh? And you would be like, yeah, I mean, I really just want to sing.
Sure.
I just want to create. I just want to do my dream job. Oh. You'd still really not be happy with Garner, though, would you?
Yeah.
And if at some point Garner came to you and you were like, oh, I can assert some of my power over Garner. I'll get out of the metaphor now. Jim Phillips worked in the Big Ten after he left Notre Dame, worked at Northwestern, spent his whole career in the Big Ten. Rightfully thought he probably was going to be the next commissioner of the Big Ten after Jim Delaney. A Carolina guy, but he thought, Jim Phillips thought, I'm going to be the next commissioner of the Big Ten. Was passed over for Kevin Warren. A year later ends up getting the job to replace John Swofford in the ACC. This is not to say I don't think Jim Phillips has any kind of interest in doing the job or love for the ACC or anything else. I think he really, 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 really wanted to be the commissioner of the Big Ten. And last summer, when the opportunity arose for the Alliance, you'll note who sent out that press release. You'll note who the first person who talked on the press conference was. You'll note who thought they had the C on their jersey. It was Jim Phillips. Jim Phillips thought he was calling the shots. That was a little bit of a, oh, you didn't want me. Oh, but now I'm telling you what to do. I'm running your, I almost swore, I'm running your stuff. You pass me over for the music laureate. I'll show you, Garner. Here's the thing. The Big Ten guy was betrayed by the Big Ten. And here the ACC is now. On the precipice, no exaggeration, of extinction. How do you get out? How do you save yourself? It's not adding Arizona. It's not adding Arizona State. Heck, you don't need any more of Phil Knight's money. You already got a ton of it at Carolina and Duke. You don't need any more of it. What you do need is that expanded playoff. What you do need is that seat back at the table. And what you do need from Notre Dame, who Jack Swarbrick, by the way, is on the committee that the subcommittee that proposed the playoff, you need Notre Dame to be a little bit happy again. Now, you had a chance, and you already made Notre Dame happy in 2020. And you might need to remind that person, man, I made you really, really happy in 2020. You remember that pandemic when you couldn't go out and no one else wanted you? We were there for you. Hey, we need you now. Begging, it can be unbecoming. But if you're not if you're afraid to get on your knees sometimes, you just might not live to see the next option. We're just talking about potential expansion, the potential dissolution of the ACC. And I asked for you, for your input, why would your school be appealing to, say, the Big Ten, a.k.a. the Fox Network Conference? Why would your school be appealing to the SEC, a.k.a. the ESPN Conference, ESPN Network Conference? We have Sabah in Cary. Sabah, how are you today?
Hey there, buddy. Hey, you got me?
I do. I do. How are you doing? How was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Hold on, I got a little background noise going. Let me stop that. Let me pause it. Okay, now. Okay. Now, can you hear me better?
Yes, ma'am. All over it.
All right. Hey, so I got an idea. I mean, I think Carolina, like you were saying, I think is in a good position, okay?
Correct.
Carolina, we're a brand. I mean, we win championships in, like, you know, lacrosse and soccer and, you know, basketball.
Basketball
kind of there.
Yes.
Football is sort of probably the worst thing
right.
we have, but people still like us. I mean, we still got Lawrence Taylor and we got Michael Jordan, you know, and we got Brandon Chastain. So, or not Brandon Chastain, the other lady, Mia Hamm.
Mia Hamm, yes.
Soccer, right. I mean, we got some iconic kind of you know, alumni people. But anyhow, so here's what I'm thinking. I'm saying that either Carolina can join the Big Ten or the ACC, or because without Carolina in the ACC, I think it's worse than if the ACC loses Clemson, because I think Carolina is more of the whole thing, general brand and more long-term brand than Clemson. I think Clemson more regional and recently really good at football. Now, having said that, if ACC stays together, I think they could do two things. They could go and have Stanford join and Notre Dame join and okay. call it the PAC, P-A-C-C, Pacific Atlantic Coast Conference. So you still have ACC in the name. Or we can merge with the Big Ten and call it the Big ACC. So you still have ACC in the name. Instead of Big Ten, it's a Big ACC. So everybody's happy. What do you think of those ideas?
I like, well, first of all, the ACC, it's not my name, but the ACC wouldn't have to change its name at all. It would have to say is the All Country Conference if they wanted Ooh. To add Oregon or Stanford. So they could always be the ACC.
Right.
In terms of which one is more valuable, Clemson or North Carolina, I can say this. The ACC right now behind the scenes, as my sources have told me, is a bit of a mess. And in part because Clemson has done so much, as you mentioned, on the football side. Carolina
right.
has done so much, not only in basketball, but all kinds of non-revenue sports, and even recently in football, raised mm-hmm. the profile of the league. And
right.
it's become, wait a second, what are some of these other schools doing? How are they contributing? Carolina and Clemson are doing a lot of the heavy lifting right now
right.
in a lot of different ways. And I think what the ACC needs to do, first of all, the grant of rights needs to hold up in a court of law. I mean, nothing happens without that, right? I mean,
grant of rights? Can you remind me what that is?
Of course. That's a great question. The grant of rights is the deal that all of the schools, including Notre Dame, signed that says all of their media rights money belongs mm-hmm. to the ACC until 2036. So that means even if Carolina leaves for the Big Ten, all of the money they would make from the Big Ten would still go back to the ACC. It is a prohibitive clause in this. It's a contract that basically is very prohibitive
okay.
financially.
Got you.
So that's what's holding the ACC together right now.
And even Notre Dame? You don't think Notre Dame would go to the Big Ten? Because that would kill the ACC if Notre Dame went to the Big Ten.
And that was the thing that John Swofford did well. He got Notre Dame to sign the grant of rights. Now, that doesn't mean that that document can't be challenged in a court of law, and I'm sure it will be sooner rather than later. However, that is what is holding the league together. Getting to your last, and Sabah, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you giving us a shout. Getting to your last point about adding Stanford, I don't think the ACC should, other than Notre Dame, I don't think they should add anyone. And here's a key part that I'm seeing today. And if you missed the news earlier today, Dennis Dodd of CBS is reporting that the Big 12 is interested in adding six schools. Well, that sounds good, all well and good. But first of all, when you add schools, you have to be able to pay for those schools and split the money. You have to add revenue and split revenue. In order to do that, Arizona football is not going to get that home for you. Arizona State, whatever, is not going to get that home for you. Although, maybe in the adult film industry it would, because Arizona State is known for that. However, that's a different topic. You need to add value in your football contract, because football drives everything. I wouldn't add anyone, first of all, number one, other than Notre Dame. Number two, I love seeing these stories where, well, they're going to add six teams. They got to get to 20. They got to get to 24. My friends on the social medias and in college football who cover college football, divisions are dead. Now that divisions are dead, do you know what you don't have to do? Add an even number of teams to your conference, because you don't have to balance out a division. Yay! So, the ACC did get one thing right. Eventually. Pac-12 will be there too soon enough, if it still exists. But yes, now that divisions are gone, we can stop with the, well, they should add Notre Dame and Connecticut, or Notre Dame and Villanova, or Notre Dame and the Catholic Church, or, you know. No, they don't have to do any of that stuff. You add whoever you want. It doesn't have to be an even number anymore. You just have to make sure they have value. Stanford, I got bad news for you. They have no value. Tiger Woods, not walking through the door. Sorry. Joining me now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline is Barry Sferluga. He's a columnist for The Washington Post. And Barry, I bring you on this program today because the last time the ACC made significant changes, and kind of looks like they do today, was when you were working at the News and Observer, and we had this unknown fever pitch of what was going to happen to the ACC. And I feel like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Are you getting a sense of deja vu here?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it does call for some reflection on, like, far away memories that you might not think you even have right in your head. I mean, if you go back to that summer of 2003 and really the late spring when Mike Trangese, then the commissioner of the Big East, kind of blurted out publicly that, hey, the ACC is coming after our schools. And we had no idea that that was happening. But John Swofford had this vision that the conference should extend from the tip of Florida all the way up into the Northeast. It's an amazingly circuitous route that it took to get there. I mean, they were initially targeting Miami because at the time it was a huge football
best power. Program in the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Syracuse, because they thought that they could get into the New York market that way, and Boston College, because that would bring them some New England market, even though nobody in New England cares about college sports. And what they ended up with that first time around, which was totally unexpected, was Miami and Virginia Tech, because the Virginia state politicians were not going to let Virginia Tech be left out in the cold, and Virginia, the University of Virginia, be gaining all the benefit of what looked like it was becoming a super conference at the time. It's just an amazingly winding path to get to Pittsburgh and Notre Dame for some sports and all that stuff that, you know, then leads us into the summer of 2022 with traditional Big Ten powers, USC and UCLA. It's all connected over almost 20 years back to those original ACC expansion days.
I should point out that when I say deja vu, I mean actually the ACC is the Big East now.
and that they're the ones in the potential of being in the danger of existence. And Barry Sverlugo, Washington Post, joining me here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out today. I look at this, Barry, you know, and at the risk of comparing myself to you, we both have what I like to call Netflix law degrees. When you've worked in the sports reporting business as long as we have, you have a certain handle on certain legal documents, right? At least enough where you think you could fake it. When you look at that grant of rights, which, you know, we could either look as the as an anchor that, that John Swofford left the ACC, or the gift that he left the ACC. When you look at that and through the prism of what you know about college sports and contracts and their true value, you think that thing is going to hold up and be what really saves the ACC?
Man, I don't know. It just seems so fluid and hard to believe that something like that is going to be the document that keeps the status quo, because the status quo, I think, is that the reality is these schools, these athletic programs are essentially free agents, or will be free agents, you know, over and over and over again. And right. I, you know, you're right about the Netflix law degree. Like, I'd be remiss if I say I have a real understanding of whether that would hold up or not hold up. But I think what we've learned about college sports over the last 20 years is that there really are no loyalties. The loyalty is to, okay, where can I make the most revenue so that I can prop up these, you know, the college athletics departments are separate corporations from an actual university.
Right.
They need to support themselves. And so USC and UCLA in this case have said the Big Ten and their TV network are going to be able to provide me with more than the Pac-12 ever would. I don't care if I ever play at Oregon and Oregon State on a Friday and a Sunday in basketball anymore. That doesn't matter. But this is a really long-winded way of being evasive because I can't answer your question. But I do think that
you covered Maryland leaving the ACC,
yeah,
and they were
sure,
able to
sure.
to kind of weasel, if you will, out of that. I say weasel, but negotiate is probably the technical term. And Barry Sverlugo from the Washington Post, lucky enough to work with him in Raleigh here, and he was covering Carolina at the time of the initial expansion. He's covered Maryland. He's a columnist now at the Washington Post and follows all of these things. And it kind of gets me to the Terps, though, Barry. And are they better off, do you think, holistically, are they better off in the Big Ten than they would have been in the ACC these last 10 years, 8 years, whatever it is?
So I kind of answered that in a two-pronged way. I mean, I am willing to believe that financially they're better off in the Big Ten, in part because the Big Ten network is such a much stronger entity. And their annual, you know, if you look at the, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you look at what they're taking in conference share as they became a full member, it's certainly more than they were making from the ACC. And that's true of any Big Ten school now, right? I mean, that's kind of what Jim Delaney sold in those days.
I believe, mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't just scoff at that, but I say this all the time, you know, at the risk of being a crotchety old man, I think Maryland Athletics as a whole has lost something for that money. And the example I always use is, you know, on a Tuesday night in January, when it's cold and sleeting and it's not an awesome trek to get around the Beltway to get to College Park and go to Xfinity Center, they're just, to me, for still the majority of Maryland fans, more of a pull if NC State is in the house than if Purdue is in the house.
Right.
It just is, you know, there's a history with David Thompson and Tom McMillan and, you know, all sorts of stuff that you could pull from that they just don't have established in the Big Ten yet. And I'm not convinced ever will. Now, you have to be realistic. There's no Maryland student now that is like longing for the ACC days,
sure,
because that's not, you know, they grew up on playing Michigan and Michigan State and all that. But I think that there's something that's kind of almost intangible that Maryland Athletics has lost, because, you know, Rutgers isn't a rival. Penn State really isn't a rival. They can't compete in football in that division with Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. They almost certainly never will be able to. it's a the money on the ledger looks good. I think that the feel of the athletic department is lessened.
Barry Svrdlyga from the Washington Post joining me here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovis is out today. And before I let you go here, Barry, when Jim Delaney was the commissioner of the Big Ten, you know, there was I believe they legitimately made a run at Carolina and Virginia to join the Big Ten under one of the previous arms of expansion. And obviously, the grant of rights kind of held some of that in place. Jim Delaney, former Carolina basketball player, obviously has a connection to the school. Do you think if this thing goes completely sideways on the ACC, let's just say either Clemson or Notre Dame, you know, gets the grant of rights to basically be invalid. If this thing goes sideways, does Carolina fit in the Big Ten in your opinion? As much as it would be crazy to wrap your brain around an ACC without Carolina.
That's where I start with the question is like, it's not so much as could Carolina fit in the Big Ten, because I think if you're thinking of a world in which USC and UCLA fit in the Big Ten, then probably anything could be an okay answer. But an ACC without the University of North Carolina is so cheapened as to almost be, you know, feel insolvent in a way. I mean, you're also talking about, you know, an ACC that would be left with a Duke that is propped up by a basketball program about which you would have to say, you know, the future is uncertain. You can't say that Duke basketball is just going to automatically be the juggernaut it was under Mike Krzyzewski when we don't know anything about John Shire as a head coach. Even if you think, you know, he's completely qualified and competent and even will inject some energy, it's just hard to imagine that it would be replicated to the level that it's a pillar for an entire conference without the rivalry that has made the conference what it was, the Duke Carolina rivalry. So, man, that is just hard. You know, there's a lot of stuff that has happened in the last 20 years in terms of conference realignment that's been hard to digest. West Virginia playing in the Big 12 yeah. always seems strange, you know, even Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. But there's nothing to me, and maybe my regional bias would surface here, but there's nothing to me that would be as kind of jarring as the University of North Carolina in the Big Ten. That just seems, to me, then you really are headed to two super conferences. And not only would the ACC and the Big East and the Pac-12, they'd all just kind of go away and you'd end up with these, like, you know, giant conglomerates,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, at that point, we would just have to call it the Fox Conference and the ESPN Conference, which is probably exactly. more accurate if we're being honest with each other. Hey, Barry Svrdlyga, there isn't a better sports writer in the country than Barry Svrdlyga. I was lucky enough to work with him in Raleigh. Barry, appreciate you taking some time. Enjoy the All-Star break. I know you have your eye on all things baseball, but appreciate taking some time and talking a little ACC here.
Thanks, Joe, and thanks for the kind words.